This broadcast is partially supported by a grant from the Burdine Johnson Foundation, supporting charitable causes in Hays County and Central Texas.
Good evening and welcome to Oasis here on KZSM 104.1, KZSM LP, San Marcos, Texas, and your host, Kathy Lara. And Kathy, who do we have here for our guest tonight?
We have on our show a returning guest.
Yes.
So we have with us Christina Casas Moreno. And Christina is going to be here to talk to us and tell us about a program that she has implemented, and it is called, Angels for Our Elders?
Yeah, Angels for Our Elders. This will be our second year.
Well, why don't you introduce yourself real quick? And I know you've been a guest here before, but tell us a little bit about who you're helping. And then, Kathy, let's find out about this program.
Yeah, so my name is Christina Casas Moreno. I am a native of San Marcos, a graduate of San Marcos High School, FANGM.
Hey, beats that purple dot. When I was going to school, they had that thing about that purple dot.
Hey, I got my Rattlers jacket on.
Yeah. I saw that. I'm like, I really, that's very snazzy.
Yeah, that has to be probably from like the
1980s.
I don't know that it's 80s. It's probably around 2000. It's nice and warm, number one. And number two, it doesn't have any names, anything else on it.
Yeah,
and
I love it.
Yeah, this was, I had this out for sale at the flea market, and no one bid at it. And I was like, well, you know what? It's kind of cold. I need a jacket, and it fits. Yeah. So
well, it's
I'm
very nice.
Yeah.
I might have to see if that's up for sale later.
Uh-huh.
We'll talk after.
See if it fits. It's got to fit.
And so where did you go to college at? Texas State.
Yeah. So started with Southwest Texas. And by the time I graduated, it was Texas State. So, yeah.
Well, so now we're talking about the university. So let's talk about rite of passage, right? You're coming to school. So are you a first generation college graduate for your family?
I am.
But you've got some pretty exciting news, too. You have a son now that's going to be graduating pretty soon, and he's making the college rounds.
He is.
So I saw you guys went and toured Harvard. Is that where you guys went? So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So yes, first generation had no clue what I was doing, just kind of, you know, with programs such as Upward Bound. I was a part of Upward Bound, which
helped. That help you a little bit?
Yeah, it really did. I mean, it really motivated us. I feel like it was a program that...
Somebody's interested in you. They're interested in what you're doing. They're going to try to help you to maneuver all the issues that you have with
financial
FAFSA
aid,
and all that.
I mean, I had no idea, you know,
what to expect. And it's hard because if your parents have not gone down that road, it could be kind of hard and overwhelming for them as well.
Exactly. And just kind of, you know, the mentality of, hey, you graduated, that's good enough for us.
Yeah.
You know, we want you to go to college. But it really wasn't.
It's not an expected thing.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, we talk a lot about that, how that seems to be a thing for a lot of the young Hispanic girls from the parents. A lot of them, they don't want them to go, and then sometimes they don't motivate you to go.
Exactly, right. And, you know, my parents were very supportive in the sense it was like, you know, whatever you want, like that, if that's something that you want, but how do we do
we're limited,
it? Where do we go? How do we help you? So, Upward Bound was a program that really helped with kind of leading that pathway for us in high school. And, so Now, my son, who is a junior, and, you know, it's different, like, seeing it through, like, for him, he's like, I know that college is the next step. Can you help me, Mom? And here we are, my husband and I, both first generation. We're like, yes, like, we can do this. Like, we don't know everything, but we're here for you. We know at least a little bit. we know how to, that you need FAFSA. Because even then, I thought once I applied, like in the very beginning, I thought once I applied, I'm good to go.
That was it. Yeah, nope.
And that's not how it was. Yeah, and scholarships.
Well, and the thing, too, with scholarships, too, is that a lot of times they don't tell you you get a scholarship, but you have to maintain your GPA.
Right.
And a lot of those come tied with those kind of caveats. And if you don't keep that up, then there's a possibility to lose it. So,
yeah, exactly. And so we are able to just foster, you know, a lot of his, you know, what he enjoys doing, what makes him happy. I'm totally different from my husband. I'm more of like, you know, do whatever, like whatever makes your heart, you know. And my husband's like, hey,
practical,
okay, not just, yes, be practical, right? Yeah. Like, is this going to make you money? Are you going to be able to pay?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because, you know, you go out there, and if you do have to borrow money, it's something you have to pay back.
Right.
And so you can't, you know, we hear now about all these kids that are going to college, and they're so indebted with student loans,
right.
And, you know, they're barely making to pay just that one payment and living. And so, you know, you want him to be able to go out there and make money so that he can support, you know, support his lifestyle and support the payments that he has to make.
Right, exactly. And, you know, even if it was something that, you know, if he really, whatever he wants for me, whatever makes him happy. And I know my husband's like more practical stuff, but I mean, that's really what's so important,
so
right? Like, in order for you to...
What are his interests? Does he have an idea?
I mean, he really likes hands-on. He's so hands-on. Ever since he was little, loved Legos. And
so it sounds like he needs to be going to MIT.
Yeah, well, so that, yeah, he loves engineering. That's his thing.
I was going to say engineering, definitely.
Robotics. He's always had a passion for that. And so... yeah, just kind of opening his eyes to the limit, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the sky's the limit. This is, you know, he's mentioned Texas State. He's mentioned Houston. He's also mentioned Lubbock. So all these different Texas schools. But he also mentioned MIT.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it wasn't something like, I have to go there, but it was definitely something that he had explored in, like, one of his classes.
Well, but you can always apply and see where it goes. And if you get in and if they're going to give you a full ride, hey, you know, why not?
Yeah. And it was, you know, we'd always been wanting to go to Boston just for the history of it. And I said, well, you know, while we're there, why not? Like, I've never, like, none of my family or previous have ever stepped foot onto Harvard or MIT. And then just to make that a possibility for my children and theirs, you know, that, hey, it's possible.
It's like a dream.
Yeah.
No, it is. You're giving an opportunity for them to, go for something further. Don't limit yourself. I think so much of the time, you know, you're right. Your parents only could see so far.
Exactly.
And you know, you have made a certain step, but it's if you can give that to the kids that, hey, MIT could be it.
And
yeah.
Not only that, it also comes with the history lesson that you're going to a place that people like us were not able to go to,
exactly.
You know, 50 years ago, 100 years ago. So,
right.
You know, it's a great opportunity to talk to them about things like that, too. So,
For sure.
I just get so excited. I'm so happy when I see, you know, kids from San Marcos and, you know, culturally people of our culture. That are able to do that. Because I also talked to Rob about how I see how so many of our kids, they never leave this place. This is San Marcos, and they never have an opportunity to go outside
explore.
You know, now they can go to the Austin, San Antonio, but to go outside of this much bigger box that we've been living in.
Right. To be able to think like, bigger, dream bigger, and it's okay. Like, he want, you know, he's got Texas on his in his heart, but I definitely wanted to just allow us to step foot in there,
show him that it's available,
dream of that possibility, that it is. Yeah, if that's what you want, then it's possible. So yeah,
how cool is that?
Yeah, so step foot onto Harvard and MIT, and we traveled, you know, in Boston, looking at all the history and just amazed by it. And yeah, a lot of reflection, just like, wow, like I never would have thought any of this would be possible. And it is.
Well, there we go.
Has he given a hint yet of yeah, I'm going to leave, I'm going to stay?
Yeah.
And so how is it going to be for you? You know, I mean, I know you say as a mom, yeah, he can go, but.
Especially
as
a Hispanic mom.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Right? Because we love our boys to be close, and he is a mama's boy. So yeah, my husband, that was one of the things, because I'm like, I mean, I want to visit, but I don't want to give him any, you know. But truly, it's a shift, right? Like, just kind of allow, like saying, hey, that is a possibility, and that he, it's his journey. It's his path.
It's his road to take.
Exactly. So, but yeah, it is, you know, that is definitely on my mind. Like, oh my gosh, what if he does leave? I mean, even to Lubbock, right. I'm thinking like that is so far away.
Texas Tech, is that
where he's going? Yeah, he's really like it. He likes Texas Tech. We haven't visited that yet. So that's definitely next on our list.
Well, Texas Tech has a lot of firsts too. I had a friend that graduated from school there back in the 70s. And he was the first Hispanic who was in charge of their newspaper there. So, like, amazing. In the 1970s, 75, yeah. His last name was Montemayor. His name is Robert Montemayor. And he went on to do some really, really fantastic things. So, but I want to ask you this question as a mom. So now you're on this. Did you guys fly?
We did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So was this the first time that your son has flown in a plane?
No. So they've been blessed to be able to fly before. I didn't fly until I was already 21. So since, they've flown before.
So when you get there, what was it like to watch him? I mean, to see these things and to have him actually be at Harvard and to be at MIT and the expressions that he has. What was that like as a mom to see that?
Just, you know, amazing is the only way, you know, it's just being able to see the light in your children's eyes, like with just wonder and, you know, the possibility of being able to do that, right? Even my daughter, she's eight in third grade and not even thinking about school right now, but just, you know, giving her.
Or the impact that may have right. You know, his journey may have on her.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. So, but it's beautiful being able to see them, you know, and I say as a first generation parent, you know, I know that what the way my parents experienced me walking across the stage and how much joy that brought them. Like, I'm just seeing this now for myself, like being able to see my kids' dreams just kind of play out.
Yeah, that's but awesome. You know, okay, your parents got to see you walk across the stage at San Marcos High School and at Texas State, but that's Harvard. And he goes there. I mean, think about that emotion of watching your kid.
Well, he's definitely like, Harvard's not for me. It's not. He says it's not my vibe.
But MIT though did.
Yes, he loved MIT.
That's good.
Well, MIT's good too. But then he just smashed my vibe. No Harvard. No Harvard for me.
I know.
Because you should see Kathy over here, folks. You can't see the smile on her face. She is just like, he's gonna go to Harvard. He's going to go to Harvard.
No, but MIT is good, too.
Yes.
Especially
from the engineer over here. I'll go for that.
There's a place, and I can't remember, in California someplace, too, right? I can't remember the name, but I'll remember.
Yeah, well, no, not Berkeley. California.
I can't remember.
Well, you've got Caltech, and then you've got, what's the one with the blasted pine tree? I'll...
Yeah, I just it's escaping me right now for some reason, but I'll remember before the show. Yeah,
and you've got UT here, too close by, and that is one of the hard. UT is one of the harder schools to get into.
It's gotten harder to get into now. They've raised the bar a lot.
Right.
Well, and especially for the engineering program, it's you've got to be in the top of the top.
Texas State is coming up. I mean, it is.
Well, Texas State has a lot of good programs with regards to
the business school is.
Well, you've got the business, but also with STEM programs, they've done a lot now because we now have the research facility here out Hunter Road, and they are dealing with a lot of nanotechnology and a lot of carbon technology. And they're doing a lot of things that are tied in with the semiconductor industry, which is right around us and right here. So I do see a lot going on with Texas State, too. But again, women and minorities are not represented, especially in the Hispanics, are not represented in the engineering fields. Now, we have a lot of folks that come here from South American countries, Central America. We do have that. But, local here, you just don't have that represented in a lot of the in the computer sciences and in the engineering. So, good. Kudos. Good to see.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to go ahead and take a quick station break?
Let's do that.
Okay, and we'll be right on back. You are listening to Riasis here on KZSM LP 104.1 San Marcos, Texas. And let's remind you that we are underwritten by Jenis Grant from the Burdine Johnson Foundation.
Supported by a grant from the Burdine Johnson Foundation, supporting charitable causes in Hays County and Central Texas.
Hi friends, this is Jeff Bressler, host of the Make Believe Ballroom, and I invite you to join me in my crystal studio each Monday at 1 p.m. as I play some legendary big band music from the 1930s and 1940s, great jazz and swing mixed with the stories behind the music each Monday, 1 p.m., the Make Believe Ballroom here on KZSM San Marcos.
Hey, have you heard? KZSM now has the programming all in Spanish. The music in Spanish, all the commercials in Spanish, and the guy even recites poetry in Spanish. Yeah, that's me. I'm El Tio, and the program is called Música con Ganas. Join me every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. on San Marcos' own true community radio, KZSM.org, now broadcasting on 104.1 FM.
It's time to rock the holidays with Metal Mark Live and KZSM 104.1 FM. We're hosting our annual toy drive to support the San Marcos Southside Center, and we need your help to spread the cheer. Stop by 260 North Guadalupe Street and help us fill the Christmas tree in our window. Big or small, every donation makes a difference this holiday season. Brought to you by Metal Mark Live and KZSM 104.1 FM. Let's rock the holidays one toy at a time.
Yeah, we're back with you here. Kathy is so fired up about getting another young man to Harvard here. MIT, I think, is where we're looking at now.
We'll know in a year.
Hey, I do want to say a big shout-out to GM Mechanical and the Molina family who brought in a big bag of toys here for our toy drive. We are trying to fill the window. I see some more toys in there just for me not being here yesterday. But we are going to be really working hard on filling that window over the next couple days. So, folks, come on by, drop it off 216 North Guadalupe. And if you have a business, we are putting in a running for all the businesses here to get a commercial. Well, not a commercial, but an underwriting, a sponsorship here on the station. So, please bring down, get together, and bring us in some toys. And this is all going from the Southside Center, and the cutoff date is going to be this Friday the 13th. So, Kathy, let's get them back and talk about the programs here that we wanted to.
I always talk about the neighborhoods here in town, and I have to say I'm a little biased because I spend so much time in Victory Gardens. You know, I went to to church there, you know, did my confirmation with the sisters there. Yeah. Went to all the little tienditas that were up and down the streets there, the Rodriguez's, and, you know, over to La Victoria and over to the Gonzalez's over by the Dairy Queen. So I knew all those little stores and all the people that ran those stores. And, you know, in the summertime when they had the, they used to have like a splash pad there that they took out, we'd go to that little splash pad in the park.
Oh, wow.
They had one of those tall metal pipes that went up and then the water would come out. And so they had one of those in Victory Gardens back in the 70s.
Wow. Right, nothing fancy.
Okay. Just enough to, you know, let your kid go out there and get wet and enjoy the day.
Now, this was after they, by then they had paved the streets over in Victory Gardens, right?
Right, yeah. This was a little after that.
So they finally got, I guess they said, well, if we're going to pave the streets, we might as well at least do something nice there, I guess. Yeah.
And the one thing that I remember about Victory Gardens is that, as you know, I would walk to these little stores from my grandmother's homes. Is that, of course, there wasn't any air conditioning back at that time. They used to run those big water coolers. You'd put water in, but the houses were not closed in. And so as you'd walk down, you know, the neighborhood through the blocks, you knew what people were cooking because you could smell. You could say, oh, you know, Doña Delfo's making tortillas and Doña Consuelo's making Spanish rice. And so you could smell the beans. So I really enjoyed that.
Right.
You know, the aroma through the neighborhood. You don't see that anymore because we're not, people have air conditioning now. They don't spend as much time outside.
And we don't walk through the neighborhoods either.
Well, and the neighborhood is changing. All the doñas that used to live there have either moved away or have passed on. And, you know, I remember all of them that lived on Armstrong Street and those that lived up and down. Yeah. And you'd go by and you would say, oh, hello, Doña Consuelo, how are you? And that was how we addressed them, the custom. And so I have a little bit of bias for Victory Gardens. But your project started in the Victory Gardens neighborhood, is that correct?
Because you're wearing my shirt today.
La Victoria.
Victoria.
In La Barrio La Victoria, right?
Yes.
And so your mother's family lives there on Railroad Street. They had a business there. And so I would assume that you're kind of biased to Victory Gardens as well.
I am. Grew up, born and raised in Barrio Victoria. My grandfather had the La Victoria grocery store. And, you know, we all lived close to each other. So my mom and all of her sisters, like, took up all of Patton. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all my cousins, we would run the streets together. So it was a lot of us.
But it was a safe time, too, right? You know, you could do things like that. And, of course, all the ladies would watch out for you so you can get into trouble. Cause
well, it was, you know, someone was talking to the other night, I remember, about, when the streetlights went on. It was time to go home and get dinner, okay? You know, that was it. You know, you'd be out until that time.
Right.
And your neighbors knew who you were, they knew, you know, if you were over playing at their house, okay, get on home. You want me to give your mom a call and let her know you're on the way? Yeah, thank you. You know, that's what you did in the neighborhoods. You looked out for each other.
Right. Yeah, and we didn't have a choice to stay in. I mean, we were kicked out.
This is true, yeah.
And it was safe, too. Like you mentioned, it was safe, too. And we all, the neighbors all took care of each other. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it was. And that's the way I feel like it still is. It's shifted, right? There's some shifts there, but it's still the core. Right, we want to protect each other in our neighborhood, and that's kind of how this
project
came to play. So,
I would consider you kind of like an activist too, because that's how you and I met. You know, I saw your post on social media about Guadalupe Chapel,
and
that's how you and I got into contact. And so, you know, of course, Guadalupe Chapel is beloved for those of us
I like that. Thank you. When you said about calling you an activist, and you said, thank you. I like that.
Thank you.
And so, I think when you think along those terms, you also think about what you can do for the community. And I think that's a difference for a lot of us. Mm-hmm. We sit out here and we, I could do this or I could do that, but that's what we do. We don't actually put that plan in motion.
Right.
And so that, you know, I have a lot of admiration for you for that, because now you've got, you know, you did the deal with Guadalupe Chapel. And
right.
So now we know it's not been sold. So that's
right.
a good thing. We
yeah.
were able to keep it from being sold. And so now you have this program. And I think a lot about the elderly people in the neighborhood. When I was growing up, all the ladies that I knew were already up there in their age. But the neighborhood was quite different, too, because you still had families that lived close by. So you were there, but maybe your daughter was one street away. But the neighborhood like that has changed, too, because now kids don't stay within close proximity of the parents. You know, they move someplace else. And so I see a lot of the change there. And a lot of the ladies that were there when I was there are no longer there. I think Mrs. Duran is probably one of the last ones of the older ladies that were there, but
right.
So the program, though, what do you tell us about the program?
Yeah. So Angels for Our Elders, that was created, just like you mentioned, just the activism, the advocacy for the neighborhood. It initially started with streets, because our streets were such a mess there. If y'all can recall the detours.
Well, it took a very long time for the city to finish that project. And believe me, we just were
always... It was almost a year and a half longer than it was supposed to be.
It was.
And we had all the rains at that time, too.
Yes. Yeah. And the streets were awful. And
and then they had to go back and start back. They had to tear something back up.
Yeah, it was a mess. But... it was 2020.
Mm-hmm.
It is done. It was 2020 and we had COVID.
Yeah.
Which, you know, they're like, you know, enjoy the outdoors. And our neighborhood couldn't. We had dirt. Mm-hmm. We had dirt streets. And, you know, how can we deal with COVID and have to be also stuck in our homes? It just wasn't good for our mental health. It wasn't good for our physical health. And so, you know, it kind of started there, and then the chapel was kind of the next endeavor, and then we started to have community meetings, right? Like, what is it that we're really needing? What are some ways that our city can support us? What are some ways that we can help each other? And just kind of noticing the isolation. So my sister and I, we would host the meetings in the park, or then we brought on the city, and they were very supportive, having like police come out and talk about safety. And so we would then hold them. We worked together with the Senior Citizen Center.
On Georgia Street?
Mm-hmm, on Georgia Street. And so we would hold them there, so it was very close for our neighbors to
be
come.
Able to get to you.
Yeah,
because I think a lot of times that is a deterrent for a lot of people, that they hold these meetings so far away, and if you're elderly and you can't get there, or if you have a disability that doesn't allow you, it makes it really hard.
And then you got to get into a car. You've got to have transportation, and a lot of people do not like to drive at night. And,
exactly.
You know, I always like that when we can have these meetings somewhere close in the neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And because when the city has these meetings over here at city, you know, say over at the rec center, nobody shows up.
Yeah.
Well, and then if you come from a Spanish-speaking community, and I'm going to assume now a lot of these ladies are a lot older. They don't have that issue of the language barrier. But back then, too, you know, you'd get the city people to come in, and then they're not talking to you in a language that you understand.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And so we started to have the meetings at the Senior Citizen Center, and we noticed that, you know, in the beginning it was not a lot of people, but then, you know, we started going door to door. So it was a lot of boots on the ground, going door to door, familiarizing ourselves with our neighbors and asking questions. And a lot of them were elderly. And didn't, like you mentioned, didn't have the means, didn't have the transportation. And so it was just the connection that really brought on this project, where we saw a need. There was the isolation. There was the need for supporting our elders, because, you know, it was only through that venture of, like, getting to the community meetings that we were able to connect with our neighbors, because we were going door to door and hearing their stories, and they all had such wonderful stories about the neighborhoods or the neighborhood, and I would just light up listening to them, and you know, them offering cafecito and their little
bon
or their dinner. A lot of them offered us dinner. I mean, it was just, you know, and they were needing that.
And it's a connection, because a lot of times you come to these meetings and you feel like you're not being heard. You're there, but you don't feel like what you say is important to whoever's holding the meeting. So that's very good, yeah.
And noticing that a lot of them, you know, either didn't have family or lived by themselves, or, you know, there was a lot of things that we were just kind of like, wow, okay. So we're getting to know our neighbors. What are their needs? And it was more like, you know, they were needing that connection, being able to communicate with others. And so then they started to also come to the meetings and then bond with other neighbors. And so I think that was kind of an eye-opener, like, hey, this would be awesome if we were to be... And then safety, right? Like, when we would go to the homes, we would also...
disrepair some
things. Right. So there's a lot of discussion with each other, and this was about the time in late November that it just kind of like, you know, after Thanksgiving.
Last year,
yeah. So last year was when it was just, you know, put in the heart is the only way I can say. Like, it was just put in the heart, like, hey, we had just had a little cafecito with one of our neighbors, and I said, you know, it would be so awesome. She didn't have family, and we were talking about the Christmas coming up.
It's very hard to get into the holiday season and the Christmas spirit when you're there alone. Yeah.
Right. So, my sister and I said, you know, we should do this. It would be awesome. We've connected with our neighbors, and I think this would be so great for our elders. We just put together, you know, a rough draft of what we thought would be nice for them, and it was a basket. We thought of a laundry basket, so it could be, you know, we would put the stuff in the laundry basket and they could be used it over. Was a blanket. And of course, you know, first and foremost, want to thank our supporters, our sponsors from last year, which we had Casa Maria, Mexican Restaurant Bar and Bakery, La Sociedad Cuauhtemoc, we had Balanced Nutrition, Road Toad Logistics, and the Marcos and Fidela Garza family. Mm-hmm. So with our sponsors, we were able to purchase the items for our baskets. And in the baskets, like I was mentioning, it was safety driven, right? Like, we really wanted to emphasize safety. We put non-slip socks. We put a nightlight. We put a blanket, a nice comfy. You can never go wrong with a blanket.
A nice little blanket, especially as you get older. The chill gets you a little faster, and just sometimes having that something to put over you makes all the difference in the world.
Well, you know, now too, we have this issue with the utilities, the heating. You know, when you live on a fixed income too, you know, a lot of the elderly don't turn the necessity on of the heating system during the winter.
Yeah.
And they'll use a small heater, because they have to, worry of the cost, because it can't go past the budget that they have.
Right, yeah.
Well, Kathy, do we want to take a quick station break here? And we'll come right on back. You're listening to Riasis here on KZSM LP 104.1. We'll be right back with you.
The following broadcast is partially supported by a grant from the Burdine Johnson Foundation, supporting charitable causes in Hays County and Central Texas.
She Can STEM, a message brought to you by the Ad Council.
¿Estás bien?
No sé.
Dime.
Es que, bueno, no sé cómo decirlo.
A veces me siento perdida.
A veces me siento perdida.
Cuando tus niños no encuentren las palabras, ayúdalos a encontrar la canción. Escucha el álbum Sound It Out y obtén consejos y herramientas para empezar una conversación en escuchandosentimientos.org. Un mensaje de Ad Council y Pivotal Ventures.
What's up, everybody? This is Justin James Bridges, and you're listening to KZSM.org. You can tune in every Sunday at 11 p.m. Central Standard Time here in San Marvelous to catch me and all my wild friends here on Sundays Free with JJB on KZSM.org.
And we're back with you, Kathy.
So let's go ahead and continue. What else do you have in the basket?
Yeah, so in the basket, we also had the $25 gift card, which was huge because that was, you know, address the food barrier. So that was my favorite part, going to be able to purchase that many gift cards at H-E-B.
So at H-E-B. Yeah, so yeah. This was those extra things that, you know, they can't get through food bank or they're not getting through food stamps, but just gives them that opportunity maybe to get something healthy.
That
you may not be able to afford normally.
Right. And it was, you know, we delivered on January 6th. Which is Dia de los Reyes.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was definitely, you know, it was already after Christmas, so going into the new year, and, you know, you spend your money on food for Christmas, right? Making those tamales, making, you know, your family get-togethers.
Well, tamales are not cheap to make anymore. They're very expensive.
No. Yeah.
I mean, it's what is it? It's about $15 for a dozen if you're buying from anyone, and they're not making that much off of that.
Right.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
And then a lot of times you don't get, you know, the tamale that you're used to eating, and a lot of times it just ends up going in the trash because they're not, you know, as good as what you're used to having.
Yeah. Right.
Sad.
So they get the gift cards, they get all of this stuff in a basket,
right.
And you delivered that on the 6th of January.
Yeah.
And how many baskets?
So 50 baskets we were able to, that was our goal, and we hit that. So that was pretty remarkable, pretty amazing feeling, just the support from our community friends and, of course, our sponsors, that we were able to gift that many baskets to everyone in the neighborhood.
So what was the cost of the basket per basket?
Per basket, we broke it down to $55. That's what it took per
basket. And
that
including the $25 card?
That was included with the Yeah. So we total raised $2,757 and 50 cents.
So how do you target the elderly? I mean, is this through you know from going around? You talked about walking around the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And
there's no prerequisite. You just, you know, you see this household that you know that there's somebody that's over the age of 60 or.
Right. So actually, we had come up together. So in the research we had done, we definitely wanted to make sure they were elders, right? So we targeted 65 and over, and we had a questionnaire for them to fill out. So giving us permission, some of the questions were, you know, were you born before the certain date? Mm-hmm. And one of them was, do you feel lonely or sad at least once a week? So we wanted to make sure that, you know, it was definitely targeted to our community that were experiencing isolation. And also, in one of the questions was asking if they were interested in learning about community services and programs within their community. So allowing us the opportunity to connect with them if there, you know, was other resources that could support them.
Kind of do a needs assessment.
Exactly.
Right? And to go in, and you've already broken that barrier.
Right.
Okay, and that they're like, wow, I get the gift bag, get the basket.
Yeah.
Now, okay, you know, let's talk with him. Yeah, let's find out, you know, what's
how
going
on. How can we as a community come together? They are the tapestry of our neighborhood, right? Just
our quilt.
Their quilt, right? With just the history, the stories, the culture, tradition, and I really want to be able to keep that alive. We should want to keep that alive.
And that's one of the goals of this show, of what we're trying to do here with keeping the culture and keeping the stories, keeping the traditions and building that on into the next generation.
Right. And who best to receive that from than our elders?
No, of
course. Who are just so wise and filled lived that life. Yeah.
And I also noticed too, Something Night Out that's held in
National Night Out.
National Night Out. Victory Gardens, that just keeps getting bigger and bigger. Victory Gardens.
Yeah. That's always one of the big ones.
I didn't get to go this year, but I've been like the last 3 years, and then sometimes I drive by, but it was, I'm amazed as to the amount of people that are coming out more.
Right.
For that event there.
Well, it's a unique neighborhood, okay? And that you've got that park right there in the middle. You've got the church. And, you know, I want to swing in and talk a little bit about La Victoria, too. But it's not having those stores, having those things there, that wasn't that long ago that you had all of these things right there in that neighborhood.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And, we want to keep that alive, and how do we do that, right? So being able to build that bridge of communication between us and our elders and keeping that alive. So also in making those connections, we were able to create a database of those 50 elders that we have within our community. And so, for example, when the storm hit in May, we knew right away, like, hey, we need to make sure that they're safe, that they're okay. And so we made calls. Me and my sister just called everyone up. Hey, is everything okay? And we got a lot of, what am I going to do with these trees that have fallen? So we were able to connect them with the city of San Marcos or with the organizations. And so just making that connection, that's all it took was a call. And we had already knew who to target, who to call, who to, you know, check in on. And so that's kind of what that database now for me is, you know, making that outreach on a special occasion. We did Valentine's, just, you know, hey, how's it going? You know, a lot of them have lost loved ones. And so just being able to just shine some light on our elders who have just, like I mentioned, I feel like they are just the heart of our neighborhood, as far as just the stories, what, you know, what we don't know, they do. So, yeah.
And so does it encompass all of Victory Gardens, or is it just certain streets in the Victory Gardens area?
It was all. So we canvassed the entire neighborhood. We walked, from Gravel Street or the railroad all the way to Cortemo. Mm. So going into all the neighborhoods.
And did you go all the way back to Ella Street out of
there? We did. Yeah.
I don't think that people really realize that it goes Ellis, all the way back there. You know, they always just think that little part where
it goes all the way back to Ellis. Yeah.
Manas.
Yes. Oh my
You've
got
to find Manas back
here. Shout out to Manas. Yes. This my favorite.
This year, did you have an increase in the people that were going to be participating in the program?
So we are keeping, you know, it's small. It's a small project, and you know, to be quite honest, I've had a lot of issues within my own, not issues, I shouldn't say issues, but things within my own life that have prevented me from expanding onto this project. So health of my dad, we just welcomed a new baby.
Thaddeus
Jude. Yes, he was born a little early, so we are behind on our project.
Well, now you got a child that's getting ready to go to college. You know, it's very hard to handle all these things, you know.
But definitely on our table, on pressing forward, you know, asking for donations, for sponsorship.
So are you going to increase the items that you're putting into this basket this year?
So our goal is to, you know, do something very similar as to last year, except this focus is going to be on health and wellness.
Got to give them a little jar of that vapor rub.
Yeah, hey, yes, I love it. That's a great idea.
There you go.
You know what?
I get people that swear by vapor rub for, you know, to me. They're like, that's the best thing
and
ever.
And Sprite. Yeah. Can't forget the Sprite.
Yes. Let us know what it is that you're needing for the baskets. And, you know, send me a list and we'll post it on our webpage.
Oh, I'd love
that. Well, how can people help out with this? If folks want to donate or if you have businesses that want to sponsor this, how can they? Yeah, what's some things that folks can do?
Yeah, so I do have a account set up with Randolph Brooks. It's in the name of Angels for Our Elders. So you can just go into Randolph Brooks and ask to make a donation there, because there is an account special for Angels for Our Elders. You can reach out to myself. I'd love, I'm open to a call. I'd love to connect and just say thank you. But yeah, right now it's very, hey, Christina, I'd love to donate. and then we've got our bank with Randolph Brooks. So I
always like to give you the opportunity. That's what you're here for. We're trying to tell folks how they can get involved to make a difference. And it doesn't have to be that much, folks. No. Okay, think about that. $50. Okay, if you've got a couple in your family and you go out to eat, you're going to be pretty close to $40 to $50 if you've got a family. So stay home. Do something at home and take that money and put that towards someone else, okay? And that's something you can think about and do.
And your baskets, are they geared mostly for females, or do you have some males that you do some baskets for?
It was both male and female. The basket was very, gender neutral. Yeah. It was the food card, like I mentioned, the card to HEB. Shout out to HEB if you want to support us. in any way, I'm open to that.
Well, doesn't HEB, they have a certain time frame where you can go ahead and request a donation. So you might...
Yeah.
So, our project is... It's a project. Mm-hmm. We are working towards a nonprofit organization. So if there are any lawyers out there willing to support... But yeah, I mean, it's a process for... A nonprofit organization, but we are definitely
it's some paperwork. I know all that fun stuff.
Hey,
and that's not cheap. So yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and our goal is definitely to be there one day and to work possibly in the future and expand it to other barrios. I mean, that's definitely.
See, that's what I like is that you're going and you're connecting folks in with the city. That's me smiling over here on that one, okay? And that you are getting the resources there, but you're not looking for we've got to hire somebody. We've got to have someone. No, you're just looking in this for neighbors. Neighbors, here's a sheet of all the people that we have, and let's keep up with that. Let's go back. This is the way that it used to be, and how can we go ahead and spread that out to the other communities here in San Marcos, and how can we create that in some of the newer communities? Those are some of the things that I love. This is where, we talked to circle it back at the beginning of the show. We talked about, believe in going to MIT. Well, hey, I believe that we can have one of these in each of the neighborhoods around town, we can do that. So
Absolutely.
And I also wanted to... bring up the fact that, you talk about the elders that are living in the community, and sometimes too we forget that in a lot of cultures the main goal for the elders is that to take care of them, and somehow we've kind of lost that, we've dropped that ball a little bit because we're not doing a good job for the elderly in our community. There isn't anybody out there to kind of say, here, there's somebody here to represent you.
Right.
And so a lot of times they get lost, they get so overwhelmed, they're elderly already, they don't know how to make that call or who to talk to. And it's,
right.
I mean, try calling the city. It's overwhelming sometimes. You have to talk to three persons before you get to the right person.
Exactly.
So I get overwhelmed by that. So I can just imagine somebody who is trying to do that and they're already up there in their age. And so I think it's a good thing that we should look out for those that have paved the way for us.
Absolutely.
Well, let's take our last station break here, and you're listening to Rises here on KCSM 104.1. We'll be right back with you after these quick announcements here.
This broadcast is partially supported by a grant from the Burdine Johnson Foundation, supporting charitable causes in Hays County and Central Texas. Nosotros aquí en KZSM, su radio comunidad, les invitamos a participar en servir nuestra comunidad. Experiencia en radio no es necesario. Nosotros los entrenamos si quisiera ser locutor o ingeniero de programa, pero también necesitamos gente con experiencia de varias habilidades. Si quisiera saber más, se puede ponerse en contacto con nosotros en la página web en kzsm.org o por correo a 216 Norte Guadalupe Street, San Marcos, Texas, 78666, o ven a visitarnos en el estudio. Este es su radio comunidad. Venga y ser parte de ella.
Ladies and gentlemen, y toda mi gente, my name is DJ Alpha in the Mix, and I'm inviting you to tune in every week to the Latin Party Mix Show. Cada semana we're celebrating la cultura latina. We're exploring the Latin culture and its influence through music, so we've got all the Latin jams, including local talent and others from around the world. New episodes every Thursday at 7 p.m. Central on 104.1 FM San Marcos and streaming on KZSM.org. Come join the fiesta on the Latin Party Mix Show. Tú sabes.
And we're back with you.
And Rob is interested in the history of La Victoria. So tell us a little bit about how La Victoria came to be.
At
the store.
The store. Uh-huh. Okay. So, yeah, my grandfather, Jesus Silguero, was a entrepreneur. He was a migrant worker, and he also worked at the Coca-Cola company here. In town.
Down on Feltner Alley.
Yeah. And so with seven children, they would go and, pick cotton, come back, and he'd work. And in saving money, they were able to, he also had a little bar out. My mom talks about it. It was out in...
Probably 123.
Yeah, there you go. 123. Yeah.
Out there by where you're dead.
Be back in.
There you go. And he built La Victoria grocery store and had all my tías working there. And the slogan was the coldest beer in town. I don't know about the beer at the time, but the Cokes were really cold. So my fondest memories are just being able, it built to my work ethic. After school, there's so many cousins. I mean, with seven children that my grandmother had, we'd all, after school go and stock. So we would stock the Cokes, we'd stock the beers, we'd stock, back then it was like, whoever can,
Who's here? Come on over.
Yeah. So, and then we would earn our snack for the day, so we could pick
all
a
the
snack.
Goodies.
Those are things that I really like to hear about, because that's something I think important that we're missing. I don't know, there's so many things out of that, but it was hard for, when did the store close? And I know there was a long kind of march with trying to keep it open there in the community. I remember there was a robbery there towards the end.
That was scary, for my uncle Frank, who later took was the owner of it following the death of my grandfather and my grandmother. So yeah, it was just a scary situation. And then trying to compete, you know, against big, big companies. So, and I always hear just, you know, the stories about how, they, you know, lots of neighbors would say, oh, would we would come and we'd be able to get, you know, our bread or get, our cigarettes or,
a cold beer.
Yeah. And so, you know, it was just a place not only where you could get your things from, but also, you know, just kind of
you
hang
talked.
Out with,
yeah,
you,
talk to
yeah.
the
you know, that was where you found mm-hmm. out what is, you know, what's the word on the street? What's,
right.
you know,
yeah.
what's a little gossip? What's the,
yeah.
what do you want to pass along? And that was where you would pick those things up.
Yeah. In the parking lot, you know,
yeah.
like there'd people come and you'd see people just hanging out in the parking lot, talking, socializing. Like you said, just kind of keeping up with what's going on in the you know
yeah.
in town, and you know there was also you'd learn where the dances were going to be because they would put the posters. You know, back then they would have posters of what dance was happening at Cuauhtémoc,
yeah.
so you would know like okay, this is what we're doing this weekend. Or yeah, but yeah, I agree. We have lost that place of. You know, you can't really, I mean, you can do it at HEB, but it's almost like, I'm not here.
The little HEB somewhat, but not
you're right,
that.
You're right.
But it's still, it's difficult.
You rush in, you rush out to get what you need.
Yeah.
Well, San Marcos has grown so much too. You know, before I'd go in there and I'd, you know, run it into at least six people. Now you go and you're lucky if you see somebody you know.
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah.
just grown so much.
Right.
I still just about every time, but I know a lot of people. But
yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
But, okay. Well, Kathy, do you want to, did we want to ask about how people can get involved, how they can help you again, one more time again?
So is there a telephone number that they could call, or do you have like an email address or...
Yeah, yeah. So I'm on Facebook. You can always find me on Facebook, Cristina Casas Moreno. I'm also, you know, like I mentioned, we do have the account at Randolph Brooks under Angels for Our Elders. If you ask to donate there, you can also reach me by phone, 512-738-6002. And not only for Angels for Our Elders, but if you have someone you would like to refer to our program that's within the neighborhood or even outside. I mean, like I mentioned, our goal is to expand to, you know, if you're interested in sponsoring,
yeah.
if you're interested in volunteering, please, yeah, reach out.
I have the perfect little girls for you. Go ahead and send me the list. We'll go ahead and
yeah.
post it on the Raíces Facebook page.
Thank you.
And we'll get working on that for you. And I want to thank you for coming to the show. Tell your mom and your dad we send our regards. And
thank you.
Tell Mercedes that I'm so happy for her, and
I'm
hoping that.
Congratulations!
Yeah.
That was good to hear. We're kind of worried, you know, last week
thank
with
you.
That. So
thank you.
Well, it's been wonderful to be here tonight on this nice, cool night.
Yeah.
And we look forward to seeing having our listeners tune in next week.
All right.
Happy holidays.
Yes. And thank you for coming in tonight. And thank you for tuning in to Raíces. And Ms. Kinganis is coming up next.